This weekend, we celebrate Juneteenth, which recognizes freedom that had been denied to Black Americans before the 1860s, not just in the South, but in the North as well, including Massachusetts. Yet there are few standing remembrances of the people who endured slavery here compared to the recognitions of white historical figures. One of the exceptions is about 30 miles north of Boston in Beverly. There's a small, craggy beach that's been named for Robin Mingo for at least 200 years. He was an enslaved man who lived on a low cliff that overlooks the beach from the 1660s until the 1740s.
So this was called Mingo's Beach. And over time, the apostrophe S has been dropped, and now it's just Mingo Beach.
Elizabeth Metelsky is an associate professor of history at Endicott College. The school's campus is adjacent to Mingo Beach. Students often sunbathe and swim here, despite the occasional smell of rotten eggs from seaweed baking in the sun. There's one story in particular that's told about Mingo and this place.
So the legend is that Robin Mingo was promised his freedom by his enslaver, Thomas Woodbury, if the tides receded enough at Mingo's Beach that he could walk from the shoreline out to this outcropping of rocks that was known as Aunt Becky's Ledge.
That ledge is about a 20-minute swim from where we are now. Once in a great while, the tide gets so low that you can walk there. But Metelsky says it's not clear if Mingo was ever successful. She thinks the story has survived the centuries because it was used by abolitionists as an example of the cruelty of slave owners.
It really highlights this casual relationship, this very kind of detached relationship between enslaver and an enslaved person.
Metelsky first learned about Mingo and the beach from Endicott Associate Professor Sam Alexander. He grew up here in Beverly and had often passed this spot, but never realized what it was named or why.
It wasn't until the summer of 2020, actually, that I learned the story myself. It was in the wake of the George Floyd murder. There was a movement on the part of the faculty to show solidarity with our Black colleagues and students and commit ourselves to teaching the legacy of racism to our students.
Alexander began asking questions about the white settlers Beverly honors.
For example, the Woodberries, who were the enslavers of Robin Mingo, have a street named after them not far from where I grew up. And so when I learned that the Woodberries were slave owners, that was a surprise to me. I think it will be to a lot of people who grew up in the area.
Now Endicott is supporting Metelsky's plans to research Mingo's life with a fellowship and sabbatical to write a book. The school put out a press release to tell people about her work, and it's been getting attention.
I hate that it takes the death of Black people for others to ask questions about their own neighborhoods, about their own parks, about their own beaches.
Kira Singleton is executive director of the Royal House and Slave Quarters in Medford, where 27 people were once enslaved. Now it sits under one of Logan Airport's flight paths. Singleton says Massachusetts likes to think of itself as the cradle of liberty, not a place that built its economic foundation on slavery.
There is a willful forgetting that happens here. And I think by not engaging with the history, by not dealing with it, it creates somewhat of a historical amnesia.
Singleton says it's people like Robin Mingo who laid the groundwork for the civil rights movement. Evidence suggests that Mingo did eventually gain his freedom. He also owned his own property and married an indigenous woman named Deborah Taylor, possibly because her children would be born free. Singleton says remembering the battles people like Mingo fought helps us make sense of what's happening now.
I think being curious about where you live is the first place you start, and just asking, how did slavery appear in my neighborhood in the 17th and 18th century? Is there a connection?
There are people in Beverly who've been asking those questions for years. Abby Battis is Associate Director of Collections at Historic Beverly. The group has been researching and creating exhibitions about enslaved people for a decade.
We were definitely pre-George Floyd, but I think George Floyd kind of made Beverly stand up and take notice.
Battis is an eighth-generation granddaughter of the Reverend John Hale, who moved to Beverly and built a home there in the 1600s, the same building Battis works out of now. Hale's grandson owned at least four enslaved people. Battis and her colleagues have amassed a collection of archives through donations. Recently, they discovered new details about Robin Mingo.
Over the weekend, we ended up, one of our employees found in the First Parish Church records, there's a whole entire section of burial dates. And there in the burials is Mingo. So we have the burial date of Mingo in the city of Beverly.
Endicott Professor Elizabeth Metelsky and her students are working on appropriate ways to mark Mingo Beach and help memorialize Robin Mingo. Ideally, Metelsky says, his descendants would be involved in the process. So far, she's found one reference to Mingo having a child. Her name was Ginger.